We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 685. 685 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek received New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on our question and answer phone at 856-854-4452. Or email bft@bibleforday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible, now in its seventh printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And then, have you ordered your defined King James Bible, published by the Bible for Today? Uncommon words are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe genuine leather, not bonded leather, genuine leather, 12-point large print, or 10-point medium print, the choice is yours. Over 25,000 all over the world have their copies. Why not order yours today? Simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get your copy. Well, we've been talking in these last few weeks about problems or misstatements of Dr. Ted Levis on the Pensacola Christian College video of 1997. If you're interested in these misstatements, simply call us or write us. We'll tell you how to get it. In fact, we'll give it to you free and postpaid. And also, you might want to know an answer to the Lutheran Levis attack on Baptists, fundamentalists, separatists, dispensationalists, non-scholars, quote, and the Dean Burgon Society. Just ask for both these papers, and we'll be glad to send them to you. We're talking on the subject of Dr. Theodore Levis. I'm right now in the midst of going after and talking about a paper and a booklet written by Brother David Cloud called Theodore Levis, A Friend of Fundamental Baptists? It's BFT number 2935. It's available. If you're interested in getting it, please let us know. We'll tell you how to get that and so on. Now, we're after Dr. Levis and talking about him because, as in the last section of Brother Cloud's paper, there's a vicious slander against Bible-believing Baptists. This is a Baptist organization, the Bible for Today is, and also it's a smash against the Dean Burgon Society, which is not a Baptist organization, but many of us were in it are Baptist. Dr. Levis is presumably a friend of the Texas Receptus, where he does not really stand as strong as he should on that text, and presumably he's a friend also of the King James Bible, but does not stand very strong on that Bible either. He's the media representative, as we said, of King James 21, and probably the offshoot of that, the Third Millennium Bible, which is an ecumenical Bible, and wanting to get in the Roman Catholic Church as well as the Protestant churches and so on. So let's continue looking at Dr. Theodore Levis. He has, of course, pushed himself very strongly ahead of many people. He is a pusher. He is a clamor. He started out with Dr. David Otis Fuller, and his, of course, Dr. Fuller was a friend of ours. He was one of our vice presidents of the Dean Burgon Society. He was the editor of Which Bible and the president of the Which Bible Society. He was the editor of three books that are very important books, Which Bible, True or False, or Counterfeit or Genuine. Those three books have had a very great influence on many people. And so Dr. Ted Levis talked his way into the confidence of Dr. Fuller, who's now with the Lord, and urged him to adopt him, you might say. And so Dr. Fuller said, all right, we'll pay for your education in Edinburgh, Scotland. And so the Which Bible Society began to pay for that education. Dr. Fuller died, went home to be with the Lord, and they continued to pay for the education of Dr. Ted Levis. Now, Dr. Levis did not really like Dr. Fuller and his attitude and his beliefs. He did not agree with them. But it was a stepping stone. It was a way to get the funds in order to get to college and school and get his doctor's degree, in which he did. Of course, he immediately changed his organization from Witch Bible Society to the Institute for Biblical Research or some other institute name of that nature, because he was ashamed of Dr. Fuller's position and the Witch Bible Society. Dr. Fuller was very strong on his views of the Text Receptus, much stronger than Dr. Ted Leidus. He was much stronger in regard to the King James Bible than Ted Leidus is and was as well. So he climbed there, and of course he continued. And then, of course, he was able to talk his way into appearing at the Pensacola Christian College video number 2 and video number 3. The video number, I'm not sure whether it's 1 or 2, but in November, or at least in the 1997, we answered his appearance there, and some of the things that he said, which were not factually true, they were misstatements on that video, but he got the Pensacola Christian College to use him two different times on these videos. We believe that was wrong. We're glad for Pensacola Christian College's stand and position on the Textus Receptus and the King James Bible. We're glad for that. But we're not happy with their use of Dr. Theodore Leidus. Dr. Leidus is a Lutheran, and he's an ecumenical Lutheran. He's not a separatist. He's not a fundamentalist. And he certainly doesn't even take a stand, as he ought to, on some of the points of the King James Bible and the Textus Receptus, strong as he ought to stand. So that's the second move. And then he moved up, I don't know what the time it was, but he moved up into the King James 21 media representative. In fact, there on the Pensacola Christian College video number 2 or 3 or both, I forget exactly which, he represented himself as being in favor of the King James 21. He said this is an up-to-date King James version, and he advertised it and offered it. In fact, the Pensacola Christian College carried that, King James 21, in their bookstore for a number of weeks, or maybe a number of months, after Ted Leidus appeared there on the college campus for the video 2 and 3. And then, after pressures were brought to bear on Pensacola Christian College, they did remove, I understand, the King James 21 from their bookstore. I don't know whether they've removed it completely or whether it's back in there. I don't know. But anyway, I don't know whether or not Pensacola will get Ted Leidus back there anymore. I think they've learned their lesson. There's lots of protest concerning it, and I don't know whether he'll be back there again. I do not think that he will. But anyway, that was the third move into the world of the Textus Receptus and the King James Bible debate and so on. And then he moved into a fourth echelon and got himself onto the Southwest Radio Church broadcasts, several of them, one for a whole week, another whole 4 days at least, and maybe even five, and then from time to time visiting the Southwest Radio Church broadcast, which goes over to a network of many, many stations. Now, on Dr. Leidus' program there at Southwest Radio Church, I happened to listen one Friday afternoon or morning, I forget just which, and I heard Dr. Leidus demeaning Dean Burgon and saying that he was too rough or too tough or too outspoken or something or other. And furthermore, I heard him on that same broadcast say that Westcott and Hort had been demeaned as well as being apostates or heretics. And in fact, he says they were great conservatives. So here again, Dr. Ted Leidus is on the wrong end of Westcott and Hort, Bishop Westcott and Professor Hort. He does not see that they're apostates and heretics as they really are. And so we have a number of things that we have questions on in regard to Theodore Leidus. And because he's in the fray, and because he has trounced the Dean Burgon Society so royally as he has, and of course we read some of the early letters of Ted Leidus to the Dean Burgon Society and to me, its president, and we read these things, and of course he's very much against the DBS or Dean Burgon Society. He was one of the founding members, at least was there at the present at the beginning session of that, and because of his church affiliation with the backdoor relationship with the National Council of Churches in the Wesleyan Church, Methodist Church, He was not able to continue as an executive committee member because we're very strong on biblical separation. So we continue. We're on Brother David Cloud's paper, Theodore Leitis, a Friend of Fundamental Baptists, Here's the next section. Consider another quote that expresses a serious error in Leitis' thinking. Now, this is a quotation. Quote, "The fundamentalists, all of whom normally held emotionally rather than an informed way to the old Bible of the Anglican Church. One reason the Anglican Bible became the Bible of the fundamentalists is because most had no intimate knowledge of the actual history of the English Bible, which would have made clear this was the official Bible of the Anglican Church, which church had historically been consistently intolerant toward the Anabaptist communities. Without reference to a sophisticated understanding of why the Authorized Version was the dominant Bible in English-speaking societies, it simply became the Word of God to the fundamentalist." That's Revival, Leitis' book on Revival, page 34 and 35. Well, just look, stop right there at that quotation and simply say this. What Dr. Leitis is saying, and of course he was just a Mr. Leitis at the time when he wrote all this material originally, Mr. Leitis was saying here is that the Baptists and the Anabaptists and all the rest of us Baptists are simply ignorant. And if you're out there on the radio listening end of this thing and you're a Baptist or even anybody else, you're ignorant too, you know. That's what he's saying. You didn't know the intimate knowledge, didn't have the intimate knowledge of the actual history of the English Bible. It's an Anglican Bible. My friends, the King James Bible is not an Anglican Bible. Granted, it was translated by Anglicans, the Church of England. Granted that. It's not an Anglican Bible. It's a Bible for all believers, all Christians, of all churches down through the centuries from 1611 to the present. And all the different denominations that are still faithful to the King James Bible are using it and do not look at it as an Anglican Bible. The Anglicans may have translated it, but does that make it an Anglican Bible? Now, this is ridiculous on the face of it. But he is saying now that we are somehow ignorant. We have no intimate knowledge. And the knowledge, the absence of knowledge, is ignorance. Let me continue. Brother Clark says, Leitis, speaking from his self-conceived superior position as a scholar and looking down upon what he considers to be the ignorant masses of fundamental Baptists, would have us believe that the Bible-believing crowd accepted the King James Version because of ignorance, whereas the true reason was the guidance of the Holy Spirit. End of Brother Cloud's statement. Now, that he summed it up exactly. The ignorant masses of fundamentalist Baptists, that's what Ted Leitis thinks of us who are Baptists. And you, if you're a Baptist, you who are listening, you don't know anything. He is superior. He has a superior position as a scholar. What made him a position superior to anybody else? Well, in his own thinking at least, he's superior. And of course, as I preached last Sunday, just yesterday as this broadcast is being made, from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 6, I preached a message on knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge puffeth up. And that's exactly what is the case here with superior scholar Ted Leitis. A puffed up so-called scholar when he should have a humble spirit. Knowledge should humble us. It says, but charity edifieth. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity or love edifieth and builds up. Here's the guidance of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:27, Brother Cloud quotes this, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. 1 John 2:27. For fundamentalist Christians, says Brother Cloud, to have been as ignorant as Leitis claims would be absolutely incredible. In fact, they would have to be absolute morons His statement again betrays his inimical attitude toward the fundamentalist Bible-believing position. And that's the position. If you take a fundamental Bible-believing position, no matter what your denomination or church is, he says that you also are a sort of a moron, absolute moron. You don't know anything, see? Now, consider another example of the cloud of his unscriptural thinking. Now, here's what Ted Leda says again in the Revival of the Ecclesiastical Text, pages 34 and 35. Quote, Brotherton's important study of the role of American Bible schools as opposed to university or seminary training played in insulating fundamentalists from a broad liberal arts education is an insightful study of the dynamic at work here. Let's just pause right there in the quotation from Ted Leda's of the Revival of the Ecclesiastical Text. Now, he's saying here that Bremerton wrote a study on the American Bible schools. Now, not the university training, not seminary training, but Bible schools. So here, Superior Leda's is looking down his nose at Bible schools. My friend, does he know the history of Bible schools? Bible schools were raised up, and Bible institutes were raised up all over the world. You know why? Due to the apostasy and unbelief and unbelief and heresy of the mainline denominations and churches throughout the world. The Methodist Church went apostate. Bible schools were raised up to train the people in the truth. The Lutheran denomination went apostate. Bible institutes and Bible schools were raised up to train the people in the truth. Baptist apostasy raised its ugly head and went wrong and sour, and Bible institutes were raised up to train the people in the truth. And so with other denominations, with the Episcopalian denomination, and so on and so forth. And these Bible institutes and Bible schools, as they were called, were those that fortified believers for training, for Sunday school teaching, for preaching, for ministry in the local churches because of the failure of the mainline seminaries and other schools and institutions to stay with the truth of the Scripture. And so he doesn't like Bible schools. He thinks we have a Bible school mentality. He calls us Bible schoolers at one point and so on. Let me continue. Here's Ted Leda's on his unscriptural thinking. Quote, most of the early Bible school work was well below college level, and high school graduation was seldom a requirement for entrance. The early faculty, rarely professional educators, were often part-time employees or volunteers, and seldom boasted advanced or even college degrees. In short, if the humanities were taught at all, it was through a rather dense filter. End of quote. Ted Leda's Revival of the Ecclesiastical Text, pages 34 and 35. If you want to define snobbery, this is it. If you want a definition of a snob, this is it. Theodore Leda's, the snob of all snobs, the superiority person of all superiority people. Here he's looking down his big nose as a so-called scholar. And he's looking down at the little Bible school and the training of the faculty. My friend, does the Spirit of God need a trained person that's gone to college and had advanced degrees in order to teach the Bible? He would look down his nose, I'm sure, at Dr. Harry Ironside, H.I. Ironside of the Plymouth Brethren, never even ordained by men, but ordained of the Lord, written books on the Bible, the entire New Testament, some of the Old Testament books. He would look down his nose at him, too, because he didn't have his degrees. He did not have his degrees. My friend, I teach in a school, a Bible institute over there in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, every Monday night. It's called Bible Baptist Institute. It's out of the Christ Independent Baptist Church. Brother Rivera is the pastor, Pastor Rivera. And I'm a volunteer. and he looks down his nose at this faculty entirely not professional and part-time or volunteers. I'm just a part-time faculty member. I don't go over there every once a week to that Bible Institute. He's looking down his nose at those that give their lives to training inner-city people. And that's what we're doing. This is the quintessence, if I might use that word, this is the quintessence of snobbery, in my judgment. The early faculty, he says, of these Bible schools, these Bible institutes, rarely professional educators. Were often part-time employees or volunteers, and seldom boasted advanced or even college degrees. Not even a graduate of college, much less an advanced degree, a master's or doctor's degree. My wife is a product. Mrs. Waite is a product of Moody Bible Institute. There again, leaders would have a fit over that institute. Now I realize they've changed into a college. They still call it Moody Bible Institute, but it's a college now, granting degrees now and so on in Chicago, Illinois. And of course, it's much less separated than it was when she went there back in the 1940s, 60 years ago. 60 whole years ago. And it's drifted like many other schools have drifted. And it's not any longer as it should be in many, many areas. And the president, whom I knew as a young man in his 18, 19 years of age, and was in camp with him. I was his counselor in one of the camps where I was a Navy chaplain and the speaker. And he was in my cabin. He was a senior at the time. Brother Joe Stoll. And he's the president now of Moody Bible Institute. And he goes along with the so-called promise keepers. And he's all in favor of lots of ecumenical endeavors. We do not agree with that position of Moody Bible Institute at all because of its ecumenism and ecumenical approach. But Ted Leetus probably wouldn't agree with some of it because they were not scholars or advanced degrees, although now I'm sure they have many advanced degrees. But because it's a Bible Institute, he would be against that as well. And furthermore, Ted Leetus would not be opposed, as we're opposed, I'm sure, to the Promise Keepers movement. He would probably see no problem with that. Go right in ahead. He's against separatism. He's against the Bible teaching on biblical separation. And this broadcast stands for biblical separation. That's the position that we take in our Bible for Today ministry. This is the position that we take in our Dean Burgon Society ministry. And that's one of the things that Dr. Ted Leetus, before he was a doctor, had against the Dean Burgon Society 20 years ago because we were separatists. In fact, he says we're twice separated. I suppose he means secondary separation. Let me continue. Brother Cloud has this remark on Brereton's important study. Quote, Brereton and Leetus could be talking about the apostles and the leaders of the early churches. Did you get that? Were they educated? Did they have advanced degrees? Did the Apostle Paul go to seminary? I realize he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. He was well taught in the law of Moses. But was he a graduate of a seminary or even a college? Did he have a seminary level, a college level? Was he a volunteer? What about John, the Apostle John? What about Peter? He could be talking about the apostles and leaders of the early churches, and that's absolutely right. As Brother Leetus says, the apostles' enemies charged them with being, quote, unlearned and ignorant men, Acts 4:13. This is precisely how Leetus looks at fundamentalists and fundamental Baptists. Where does the Bible say that wisdom comes through higher education? Where did the apostles establish seminaries and universities? Where did the apostles instruct the church leaders to teach the humanities? That's what Leetus wants them to do. The Bible itself is able to make the man of God perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. That's good enough for me, says Brother Leetus. That's good enough for me too, I say as well. And the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Holy Spirit is able to train us and bring us up and make us effective preachers, ministers, missionaries, and evangelists for the cause of Christ the Lord. He's able to train us. He's able to equip us. Listen, my friend, I have seen a lot of seminary graduates that are absolute flops when it comes to preaching and ministering in the Spirit of God, and the Lord has just simply not used them at all. They're laid on the shelf. They're quitters. They can't do it because they have the training of man, but not the training of God. That's important, very important. Let me continue, Brother Leader says, and that's good enough for me. The Bible is able to make us perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Passages such as Matthew 28, 18 to 20, 2 Timothy 2, 2, and Titus 1, 9 explain what is required in the training of a man of God. The attitude displayed by Levis toward humble, Bible-believing people was identified by Dr. David Otis Fuller as scholarolatry. Scholarolatry. Now, that's a good word. Dear Dr. Fuller, who paved the way for Levis to go to college and seminary. Dr. Fuller, who was hoodwinked into thinking that this young man, Ted Levis, believed as he did and was willing to pay for his education, Dr. Fuller coined the term scholarolatry, and that's the worship of scholars and the worship of scholarship. That's exactly what he has turned out. Dr. Fuller and his funds and his dollars and his hard work has turned out a scholarolatry, a worshiper of scholarship. Ted Levis is a scholarolatry, a worship of scholarship, and a worship of scholars. This is not biblical. This is snobbery. This is absolutely unquestioned snobbery to the nth degree. Let me continue on Brother Cloud's analysis. Quote, another example of Dr. Levis' unscriptural philosophy is contained on page 27 of his book. This is the revival of the ecclesiastical text, page 27. Quote, and with the emergence of the 20th century chapter on the controversy of Bible translation, we finally return to the theme of this essay. The problem now was, how was one to choose between so many options proliferating at a dizzying rate with no authoritative ecclesiastical guidance? End of quote. Levis, Revival of the Ecclesiastical Text, page 27. Ecclesiastical guidance. Levis, says Brother Cloud, doesn't understand the New Testament truth that the Christian's guidance does not come through an ecclesiastical machine or through some kind of apostolic succession or through the church fathers, but through the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:27. From the Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. And the leaders of the New Testament assembly, Ephesians 4:11 to 14, Hebrews 13, 7 and 17. Well, my friend, we're going to stop right here. I tell you, this is a corker of a man, as we say, Dr. Theodore Levis. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible, or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long until next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why don't you give us a call right now, toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or email us, bft@biblefortoday.org. We're going to continue this next broadcast next week. We hope you stay tuned with us. Brother Ted Levis, if he is a brother, and we're not sure of that, but if he is way, way off on his scholarship and scholarolatry, the worship of scholars and the worship of scholarship. So long till next time. See you next week. So long till then. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 686, 686 days of daily broadcasting, Building Bible Confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone at 856-854-4452. This is welcome to our broadcast, and we stand with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of the traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek Received New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. All right, we want you to write us or call us at toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9 or email us at bft at biblefortoday.org. And we want you to get our Bible book, Defending the King James Bible, now in its seventh printing, third 350 pages, hardback edition. I want to ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us direct. We'll tell you how to get it at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And then, have you ordered your Defined King James Bible yet, published by the Bible for Today? Uncommon words are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, either 12-point large print or 10-point medium print. Over 25,000 all over the world have their copies. Why not order yours today? Simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And then, for those of you who are listening to our expose of Dr. Theodore Leetus, you may want some of these materials. We're glad to send them free and postpaid. Problems or Misstatements of Dr. Ted Leetus on the Pensacola Christian College video, 1997, that's BFT number 2893. Request that, we'll send that to you. Or an answer to the Lutheran Leetus attack on Baptists, fundamentalists, separatists, dispensationalists, non-scholars, and the Dean Burgon Society. Simply call us, we'll tell you how to get these. We'll send them to you free and postpaid, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. All right, we continue on our exposure and expose of Dr. Theodore Leetus, who is an enemy of the Dean Burgon Society, of which I have been president for 22 years. He was at our founding meeting. We've talked about these on the broadcast before, of the Dean Burgon Society, 1978, I believe it was. And he is now, has been attacking the Dean Burgon Society ever since. He's been attacking this preacher ever since. And we want to tell you a few things about him. As I say, he's a climber. He climbs up different places as far as the world of Texas Receptus is concerned, King James Bible is concerned, and parades himself around as being a great defender of the Texas Receptus and a great defender of the King James Bible, when in fact he is not. He is not sold on the Texas Receptus, Greek text that underlies the King James Bible. He believes there are many errors in it and many mistakes, and he only goes along with it because it's the ecclesiastical text of the Reformation, and because the Reformers used it, and he's a Reformed person now all of a sudden in the Lutheran Church. He started out in a Pentecostal type of a movement, then he moved on into the Wesleyan Methodist, and then into the Baptist, and now he's in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And so all of a sudden he's a Reformed person, and he uses the ecclesiastical text, and the same with the King James Bible. He really isn't in favor of it, as you and I are, who are listening to this broadcast perhaps, because he is the media representative of a different version, the King James 21, and the now called the Third Millennium Bible, which is an ecumenical Bible, and Leetus, Ted Leetus, is an ecumenical Lutheran, and he's not a separatist, and he's not, therefore, in favor of our Dean Burgon Society and its principles. We've been talking about Brother David Cloud's excellent book. You ought to get it. BFT number 2935. Theodore Leetus, A Friend of Fundamental Baptists? ? I'm by David Cloud. Write us or call us. We'll tell you how to get your copy of this book. We'll be glad to let you have a copy and tell you how to get it. It's a 29 large pages on Theodore Leetus. We're on page number 8 at this time. Last broadcast, Brother Cloud quoted Dr. Leetus from the ecclesiastical text, the revival of the ecclesiastical text, page 27, and he talked about the people that have no authoritative ecclesiastical guidance. Let me just read that. He says, quote, "And with the emergence of the 20th century chapter on the controversy of Bible translation, we finally return to the theme of the essay. The problem now was, how was one to choose between so many options proliferating at a dizzying rate with no authoritative ecclesiastical guidance? End of quote. Page 27, Letus, the Revival of the Ecclesiastical Text. Well, he says we need the ecclesiastical leaders. And Brother Clive says, well, what about the early church? What about the apostles? And what about the New Testament assembly? He gives scripture verses. What about the Holy Spirit to guide us? We don't need an ecclesiastical machine. Ted Letus is an ecclesiastical machine person. That's what he is. And why he appeared at the Pensacola Christian College is beyond me. I don't know why they had him there twice. Not once, but twice. And how Dr. David Otis Fuller could be hoodwinked into supporting him for his doctor's degree at Edinburgh there in Scotland, I don't understand that either. But he was. And he provided the funds, along with other of our friends that he also had money come from as well. And I know some of the names. I'm not going to name them on the broadcast, but I know some of the others that were hoodwinked and supported him in this degree that he got, and perhaps still support him. How he could get on to the Southwest Radio Church is, again, beyond me, who takes a position as he does, and certainly not a position that is there by the Southwest Radio Church, but he seems to go along with this position and gets into these various meetings. Well, Brother Clark says, the Lord Jesus promised, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, Matthew 28:20. His abiding presence guarantees the necessary spiritual discernment. It would not surprise us if Dr. Letus goes over to the Greek Orthodox Church eventually. In Greek Orthodoxy or Roman Catholicism, one finds the ultimate in authoritative ecclesiastical guidance. And that's exactly what he's quoting from Ted Letus's book, page 27. Now he goes on, he says, Dr. Letus's new evangelical heart is apparent in the authors he recommends. Note the following example. Now he's quoting now from the footnote, footnote 39 in the Revival Ecclesiastical Text, footnote 37, page 26, footnote 39, page 27. Quote, the literature on American fundamentalism is an ever-growing mass of material. G. Marsden has written several insightful studies on the theme, fundamentalism. End of quote. Well, Marsden is anything but a fundamentalist. He's a new evangelical that wrote on the subject, and Letus is recommending his book. Letus lists many historians of fundamentalism, but to a man, they are its enemies. George Marsden, a professor at Duke University Divinity School, is a new evangelical historian at best. He certainly is no friend of fundamentalism. Though he's very knowledgeable, and though his books contain information useful to the biblical fundamentalist, Marsden does not understand biblical fundamentalism, and those who read his works will not come away with a proper understanding of the same. Another history recommended by Letus is by Stuart G. Cole, who treats fundamentalism almost as roughly and erroneously as Letus himself, claiming that fundamentalism is a factious movement that creates fear and suspicion. That's on page 61. To Cole, the fundamentalists who fight for a supernatural Bible and biblical orthodoxy are mean-spirited, divisive, unreasonable, unfair, radical, unconciliatory, disruptive, suspicious, intolerant, severe, impatient, perverted in attitude, extremists, belligerent, irreconcilable, and propagandizers, etc. Let's just pause right there. This is the Letus take on us who are fundamentalists. And if you're listening to this broadcast and you consider yourself to be a fundamentalist, Dr. Ted Letus is your enemy. Now, mark it down. No matter how much he talks and breathes and lets out words of praise to the Texas Receptus or the King James Bible. He's an enemy of fundamentalism, and he's not what he seems to be. He is not what he seems to be. And these terms that he gets, that Brother David Crowd gets from this historian, Cole, are the terms exactly that Letus himself has against us who are fundamental Bible-believing Christians. Let me continue. Brother Cloud says this: the liberals, on the other hand, are described, this is by Cole, the historian, as reasonable, progressive, forward-looking, moderate, conciliatory, etc. This is the perverted position typically presented in the books on fundamentalism recommended by Letus. Another work recommended by Letus, The Roots of Fundamentalism by Ernest Sandeen, is so far off the mark that it identifies fundamentalism since the 1950s with Billy Graham. Let's just pause right there. Billy Graham is not a fundamentalist. He said he began as a fundamentalist in the 1949 crusade at Los Angeles, which was his beginning, but he's no longer, by any means of any kind of stretch of the imagination, he is not a fundamentalist. New evangelical to the hilt, almost a liberal, almost by the way he's conducting his crusades in these last years. And as he's interviewed by such modernists and liberals as Robert Schuller, and saying that the heathen do not even have to hear about Christ to be saved, this is apostasy out of the mouth of Billy Graham, not fundamentalism by a long shot. Well, let me continue. So he's got Billy Graham as a fundamentalist. Sandeen's lack of discernment, says Brother Cloud, arises from his modernistic view of the Bible. He believes, for example, that Daniel and Revelation are man-made books. Another author recommended by Letus is Gabriel Hebert, Fundamentalism and the Church. Hebert thinks it is idolatry of the Bible for Christians to refuse to accept evolution and to identify the Word of God with the Scriptures. This is from his pages 138 and 139. Two other histories on fundamentalism mentioned without any disclaimer by Letus are by Martin Marty, former senior editor of the liberal Christian Century magazine, and a rank modernist who denies the infallibility of the Bible and the eternal fires of hell. In a June 1967 interview with Playboy magazine, Marty said that adultery is permissible in some situations. To list the works of men such as these, as Letus does, claiming that a proper view of fundamentalism can be obtained through their writings, is unconscionable. Well, I agree with Brother David Cloud on this situation. Definitely agree with him. He's right on target. And Ted Letus certainly is recommending books against fundamentalists and against fundamentalism that are from the liberal or the modernist standpoint and viewpoint, or the new evangelical viewpoint at best. Well, let's go to another section. Brother David Cloud, writing this paper and this excellent article, goes to a different subject, and this is a subject that is dear to my heart: Letus's assault upon the Dean Burgon Society. You might wonder, why is this pastor and this preacher taking off on Ted Letus on this broadcast, having to do with the defense of the traditional Bible texts? My friend, I'm taking off on it because one of the most vicious attacks of Ted Letus is an attack on the organization of which I am president, an organization that sponsors these broadcasts, the Dean Burgon Society. And I want you to hear about his attacks on this. And I do not take it lightly. I remember that on one week, for example, I was on a series of broadcasts. I had two broadcasts, and Ted Letus was on the same week with two other broadcasts, and we were put together as like the two cats with the tails tied together. I didn't know that he was going to be on that broadcast with me, but here he was, and here he is advertising his book, The Ecclesiastical Text, on that broadcast, And that book tears apart the Dean Burgon Society. And here I am on the other 2 days, on the same week of broadcast, on the same program, the same sponsor, and here I am defending the Dean Burgon Society, the president of the Dean Burgon Society, and talking about a man who's one of our executive committee members, Dr. Kirk DeVitro. And so it's amazing what the conflict and the contrast was in that particular situation. So here's Leda's assault upon the Dean Burgon Society by Brother David Cloud. He says, Leda's reserves the most vicious assault for the Dean Burgon Society. This society was formed in 1978 by Dr. D.A. Waite, well, that's your speaker here, and Dr. David Otis Fuller, and that's true, with the following seven objectives. Now, here are the objectives of our Dean Burgon Society. Number one, to reprint and circulate as widely as possible Dean Burgon's works. Number two, to defend the traditional Masoretic Hebrew text of the Old Testament and the traditional received Greek text of the New Testament. Number three, now these are objectives, seven objectives of the Dean Burgon Society. Number three, to defend the traditional English translation of the Bible. Now that's the King James Bible. Number four, to expose and publicize the defects, deficiencies, errors, and mistakes, both in the texts used and in the translation process and results of any and all modern translations of the Bible, whether in English or in other languages, which are not based on the traditional Masoretic Hebrew text and traditional received Greek text, which underlie the King James Version. Number five, to revive interest in the first-hand study of the Hebrew and Greek texts of the Bible. Number six, to acquire, print, and distribute books by other late 19th century and early 20th century scholars who defended the traditional text and the King James Bible. Number seven, to encourage articles, research, books, and other materials devoted to the study of the history, canon, text, authority, inspiration, and translation of the Bible. End of quote. Now, these are the seven objectives that we started out with in 1978, 22 years ago, in our Dean Burgon Society. And these are principles I still believe are valid. We began them this way, and we continue to emphasize this in our Dean Burgon Society. Now, here's Brother David Cloud's analysis of what Leda's says about our Dean Burgon Society. He says, Leda's calls the Dean Burgon Society's views extremist. Now, that's the Ecclesiastical Text, page 195. And, quote, very irresponsible. That's the Revival of the Text, page 44 and footnote 75. So he calls us extremist and very irresponsible. Our Brother Cloud says, let the reader see for himself. Following is the Dean Burgon Society statement on the Bible, which has been used by many schools and churches. Here's what we say about the Bible. Now, this is a responsible society, Dean Burgon Society. It's not irresponsible, and it's not extremist. Here's what they say. Quote, here's what we say in our statement on the Bible of our Dean Burgon Society. Quote, we believe that the King James Version or Authorized Version of the English Bible is a true, faithful, and accurate translation of these two providentially preserved texts, parenthesis, the traditional Masoretic Hebrew text and the received Greek New Testament text, Greek text, end of parenthesis, which is, in our time, has no equal among all of the other English translations. Now, this is our King James Bible he's talking about here. Continuing, the Dean Burgon Society says this, quote, the translators did such a fine job in their translation task that we can, without apology, hold up the Authorized Version of 1611 and say, this is the Word of God, while at the same time realizing that in some verses we must go back to the underlying original language texts for complete clarity and also compare Scripture with Scripture. Next paragraph. This is what we say in the Dean Burgon Society about the Bible. Quote, we believe that all the verses in the King James Version belong in the Old and the New Testaments because they represent words we believe were in the original texts. Although there might be other renderings from the original languages, which could also be acceptable to us today. For an exhaustive study of any of the words or verses in the Bible, we urge the student to return directly to the traditional Masoretic Hebrew text and the traditional received text, Greek text, rather than to any other translation for help. The next paragraph. This is our statement on the Bible. Bible inspiration and Bible preservation are supremely important. The undermining or destroying of either doctrine renders the other meaningless. If the Bible is not verbally, plenarily, and inerrantly inspired, and if inspiration does not extend to all matters of which the Bible speaks, it does not matter if the Bible has been preserved or how it has been preserved. It also follows that if the Bible has been preserved or how it has been preserved, it also follows that if the Bible has not been preserved, rather, it does not matter how it was inspired. End of quote. This is from the Committee Statement on Bible Preservation of the Dean Burgon Society. Well, this tells us our position of the DBS, or Dean Burgon Society, and Brother David Cloud is one of our members of our advisory council of our Dean Burgon Society, has been for several years, and that's an excellent statement on our Dean Burgon Society principles and practices and beliefs. Let me continue now. Brother Cloud says this. Many would disagree with the Dean Burgon Society position on the Bible in some details, but to label them extremist is foolish. Literally millions of Bible-believing Christians hold these views. In fact, the Dean Burgon Society avoids the real extremes on the Bible text position. Consider how Letus further describes the Dean Burgon Society. Now here's a quotation from Ted Letus from the Ecclesiastical Text, page 189. Quote, a group of twice-separated fundamentalist Baptists formed a society some years back calling it the Dean Burgon Society. End of quote. Let me pause right there. Now, Ted Letus was in that group in 1978. He had a long beard. Some of us refer to him as Furface. He didn't like our position on the charismatic gifts. He thought we should include the charismatics in the doctrinal statement. We said we were opposed to the charismatic movement and the charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit. He likewise did not like our position on biblical separation. He thought we should not separate ourselves from apostates, unbelievers, and compromisers in the new evangelical world. And so here he says, a group of twice separated. Now, he doesn't define twice separated. Perhaps he means secondary separation people. He calls us fundamentalist Baptists, formed a society. Well, there are others other than Baptists that formed that society. In that first meeting, Ted Letus was there. He was not a Baptist then. He's not a Baptist now. He was a Wesleyan Methodist. And he was one of the ones that was at that formational meeting. We had an independent there of the Mount Calvary Union Church in Runnymede, New Jersey there. He was not a Baptist. We had a Presbyterian there. He was not a Baptist. In fact, two Presbyterians. And this was the forming society. And so he is absolutely dead wrong when he said the society was formed by fundamentalist Baptists. Now, I was the president of it at the start and still am. And I was one of the men that formed and called the meeting. Dr. Fuller was another. Brother E.L. Bynum, Pastor Bynum of Lubbock, Texas, was another. The three of us were the ones that called this meeting. All of us were Baptists, but the fundamentalist Baptists were not the ones that formed the society alone. There were others as well. And to this day, we have a Bible Brethren who is on our executive committee. He's not a Baptist. We have an advisory council, Dr. S.H. Toll, who's a Chinese Christian, a pastor of a Bible Presbyterian church in Singapore. He's not a Baptist. No, my friend, though many of us are Baptists in the Dean Bergen Society, because many of the Baptists hold our position and are separatists and fundamentalists and believe and stand for our position in the Bible, it is not an exclusively Baptist organization. That is a false innuendo in Ted Leidus' remark on the Ecclesiastical Text, page 189. Let me continue his quote. Quote, the name, that is Dean Bergen Society, would seem to imply that the common interest that brought together the members of the society would be an interest in Bergen and his views. Now, let's pause right there, end of quote. My friend, we have an interest in Dean Bergen and in his views. But that does not lockstep us into all of Dean Bergen's views. Dean Bergen was a member of the Church of England, the Anglican Church. We who are in the Dean Bergen Society are not Anglicans. Our doctrinal statement does not say we're Anglicans. And we do not follow every twist and turn of Dean Bergen. We do follow him because of his stand in defense of traditional Bible texts. And we do have an interest in his views. Why would we, if we did not have an interest in his views, why would we, as a Dean Bergen Society, reprint 5 of Dean Bergen's books? Almost 2,000 pages of reprints of his books. We reprinted the last 12 verses of Mark. We reprinted the Revision Revised. We reprinted the traditional text of the Holy Gospels. We reprinted the causes of corruption of the traditional text of the Holy Gospels. We reprinted Inspiration and Interpretation. These are books now in print, available here at the Bible for Today and at the Dean Bergen Society. And we have reprinted these because we do respect and value the views of Dean John William Bergen, who took on Westcott and Hort to task and exposed the wrongness and the apostasy of doctrine, and at least apostasy of the text of the New Testament. And we stand for Dean Bergen's views, many of them, and we agree with them, or we would not call the name the Dean Bergen Society. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defying King James Bible, or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long till next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a call right now? Toll free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforToday.org. My friends, we're going to continue this next week. We're going to defend our Dean Bergen Society. We're going to defend the views that we hold as a society standing for our Textus Receptus, our Masoretic Traditional Hebrew Text, and our King James Bible. We believe we have the truth on our side, and we do not believe that Ted Leidus has any right to falsely accuse our Dean Bergen Society of things that we do not believe and do not stand for. Stay tuned. See you next week. Same time, same station. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Bergen Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to the weekly broadcast number 687. 687 days of daily broadcasting, building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King's Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We're studying traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone, as we say, is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone at 856-854-4452 or email bft@bibleforttoday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible, now in its seventh printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible? Or call us direct. We'll tell you how to get it. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then, have you ordered your Defined King James Bible yet? Well, published by the Bible for Today, uncommon words are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe genuine leather, not bonded leather, genuine leather, a choice of 12-point large print for tired eyes or 10-point medium print. Over 25,000 all over the world have their copies. Why not order yours today? Simply call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then those requesting it will send you free and postpaid these two short articles that we've written, Problems or Misstatements of Dr. Ted Leidas on the Pensacola Christian College video of 1997, and also an answer to the Lutheran Leidas attack on Baptist fundamentalists, separatists, dispensationalists, non-scholars, and the Dean Burgon Society. These two are yours for the asking. We're talking about Dr. Leidas and what he has believed and what he does believe. And right now we're in the middle of analyzing Theodore Leidas, a friend of Fundamental Baptists, by Brother David Cloud. This is BFT number 2935. Available if you're interested in it. Call us, we'll tell you how to get this entire analysis. Simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. 29 pages in all. We're on page number 11. Last broadcast, we talked about some of the analyses that he had. We're in the section now where Ted Leidas criticizes and condemns and assaults the Dean Burgon Society, which I've been president of now for 22 years, since 1978. He was on the founding meeting. He was in the founding meeting and was unable to serve since he had a backdoor connection with the National Council of Churches. And we're a separatist organization and did not have that possibility, and we still do not have that possibility. And he says in his quotation from the Ecclesiastical Text, page 189, quote, "A group of twice separated fundamentalist Baptists formed a society some years back calling it the Dean Burgon Society. The name would seem to imply that the common interest that brought together the members of this society would be an interest in Burgon and his views." End of quote. Let's pause right there. As we did last broadcast, I would simply say this. Our Dean Burgon Society is interested in Dean Burgon. We are interested in his views. And it is his views that have brought us together. And we have reprinted 5 of Dean Burgon's books. And these have brought life into the stand that Dean Burgon had in the traditional Bible text. The 5 books, as we mentioned last broadcast, are the last 12 verses of Mark. He defends that. Unanswerable. The second one, the Revision Revised. And that book, we've just reprinted it. It's our second printing of this book, 3,000 more copies. And in that book, Revision Revised, he assaults and attacks the Westenhort false Greek text. Number 2, he attacks the false theory behind that text of Westenhort. And number 3, he attacks and goes against the English Revised Version of 1881. And really, in doing that, he goes against many of our present versions of the day. And number 4, in the Revision Revised, he stands for the King James Bible and the Authorized Version. That's the second book, Revision Revised. The third, the traditional text of the King James Bible, the traditional text, I should say, of the Holy Gospels. Number 4, the causes of corruption of that text, and that is why B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai, were corrupted instead of sticking with the traditional text. And finally, Inspiration and Interpretation. Those 5 books we've published, and we do stand. We don't have to agree with Dean Burgon on every turn of the road, because many of us are not. In fact, there's not a single one in the Dean Burgon Society that is a member of the Church of England. We're Presbyterians, one or so. We're some Baptists. Many of us, most of us are Baptists. There's Bible Brethren, and so on. And so we stand with Dean Burgon in his defense of the traditional Bible text. And that's where we stand. And we stand against Westcott and Hort and their false Greek text. that is the textbook of Bob Jones University in the Greek department and other fundamentalist institutions that were, sorry to say, using the wrong Greek text. Let me continue in this quotation of Dr. Ted Leidis. It is the public platform of this organization, claiming that it represents Bergen's own views, which constitutes the real scandal. End of quote. The public platform of the organization claiming that it represents Bergen's own views, which constitutes the real scandal. End of quote. The Ted Leidis, the Ecclesiastical Text, page 189. Well, my friend, this public platform does not necessarily represent Dean Bergen's views. It represents our defense of the traditional Bible text. And the last broadcast, we went over the seven purposes and objectives of the Dean Bergen Society. Those are the purposes we present on our platform, and those are the purposes that we wish to enunciate to the world. To reprint and circulate as widely as possible John Bergen's works, which we've done. To defend the traditional Masoretic Hebrew text of the Old Testament and the traditional received Greek text of the New Testament, which we've done. Number three, to defend the traditional English translation of the Bible, which is the King James Bible, which we've done. Number four, to expose and publicize the defects, deficiencies, errors, and mistakes, both in the texts and in the translation process and results of any and all modern translations of the Bible, whether in English or in other languages, which are not based on the traditional Masoretic Hebrew text and traditional received Greek text, which underlie the King James Version. That's what we've done also. That's point number four. Point number five, to revive interest in the first-hand study of Hebrew and Greek texts of the Bible. We've done that. Number six, to acquire, print, and distribute books by other late 19th century and early 20th century scholars who defended the traditional text and the King James Bible, which we've done as a Dean Bergen Society. Number seven, to encourage articles, research, books, and other materials devoted to the study of the history and translation of the Bible, which also we've done. Every year now, for 10 years, we've gotten out a Dean Bergen Society message book. This year, the book is 150 large pages. Now, other years, it's 200 pages. And these are articles that we've gotten together that represent our views. And there's a reason why we call it the Dean Bergen Society. At the bottom of every one of our Dean Bergen news, which comes out periodically, we have the following statement. The Dean Bergen Society Incorporated proudly takes its name in honor of John William Bergen, 1813 to 1888, the Dean of Chichester in England, notice, whose tireless and accurate scholarship and contribution in the area of New Testament textual criticism, whose defense of the traditional Greek New Testament text against its many enemies, and whose firm belief in the verbal inspiration and inerrancy of the Bible, we believe have all been unsurpassed either before or since his time. End of quote. Now that's what we put on our Dean Bergen Society news, every issue that's been issued for 22 years. That's why we have used the name the Dean Bergen Society. Well, back to Brother David Cloud's analysis. Leidis gets himself very worked up over the Dean Bergen Society, DBS. He claims that it is wrong for society to take the name of Bergen if it does not follow his position in every detail. Bergen was an Anglican. The Dean Bergen Society is composed largely of Baptists. Bergen believed there were a few passable mistakes in the Textus Receptus. The Dean Bergen Society does not. Bergen believed there were mistakes in the King James Version. The Dean Bergen Society does not. These are very real differences. But the fact remains that John Bergen did pursue a bold defense of the received or traditional text and the authorized Bible. Minor modifications aside, he believed this to be the preserved Word of God, and he unhesitatingly rejected the Westcott and Hort text upon which all the modern versions are generally founded. The Dean Burgon Society merely wants to honor Burgon's name because they appreciate his enthusiasm and scholarship in general. Why should they have to subscribe to every detail of what Burgon believed? Who has the authority to pontificate on the name and policy of another man's society? Dr. Theodore Levis displays an amazingly pompous attitude. In fact, of the thousands of Christian authors I have read in the past 25 years, I have never found one more pompous than Levis. End of quote, Brother David Cloud. My friend, I certainly agree with David Cloud in this area. Pomposity is the trademark of Theodore Levis. Proud, pompous, egotistical Levis. A sad thing, looking down his nose at anybody who doesn't have some of his thoughts and ideas. And this certainly is amazing to me. And the amazing thing is, with that attitude, if you know him very well, you have that attitude. If you've ever been on the receiving end of any of his letters or of his phone calls with scathing denunciation, as he has, the thing that bothers me and is a wonder to me is, why has he climbed so high up in the ladder of Texas Receptus people and King James Bibles? Why did I proceed to backing him eventually to get his doctor's degree over in Edinburgh, Scotland? Why? Why did he get backed by Dr. Fuller? And then the which by say added for the Lord. The two bills. Why this attitude, the real, not a song, a case of King's Bible, the King James, but the King's Bible 1, or the Third Millennium Bible. Why did he get himself into the Pensacola videos to it? And then why did he get on to the platform of Southwest Radio Bible Church, the Southwest Radio Church Ministries? And he's been on the with this attitude of pomposity and egotism and so on. And number four, how did he get himself as media representative of the King James 21? He has a way of getting into the high echelon with all of this pomposity. And as Brother David Cloud said, in all the 25 years of the thousands of Christian authors that he's read, he's never found one more pompous than Theodore Levis. Let me continue. Brother David Cloud says, after berating the Dean Burgon Society for their clearly defined commendation of Burgon, Levis himself says, quote, Burgon is to be commended whether one accepts all of his arguments or not, because he became a bona fide authority in the field before entering the controversy. That's Levis, Revival of the Ecclesiastical Text, page 33. So here he says, the leader says, that one does not have to accept all of Burgon's arguments to respect his scholarship, his position on biblical inspiration, and his position on texts and versions in general. Well, this is precisely what the Dean Burgon Society and many other fundamentalists and independent Baptists do. While not accepting Burgon's high church Anglicanism or all of his conclusions about the text, we respect his zeal for the verbal inspiration of Scripture, a zeal that Dr. Levis does not have. Let me pause right there. Ted Levis doesn't have a zeal for the verbal inspiration of the Scripture. In fact, he does not believe in verbal inerrancy of the Scripture. He says that's something that was invented there at Princeton by this other man. And he does not believe that this is so. In some of his writings, he as much as he admits this, that he denies the inerrancy of Scripture. But verbal inspiration of Scripture, the zeal Dr. Levis does not have. No question about it. And then his defense of biblical truth. This is Burgon's defense of traditional biblical truth against the onslaught of rationalism. And in a general sense, his position on texts and versions. The point is that John Burgon devastated the Westcott and Hort textual theories, which in general underlie the critical Greek texts and the modern versions. And that's exactly what he did. Then he goes on, Brother David Cloud says this, quote, Levis makes many false and slanderous accusations against the Dean Bergant Society. Let me just pause right there. I'm answering Ted Leidis and his attacks on the Dean Bergant Society and his views of the King James Bible and the traditional text of the Greek language, the Textus Receptus. I'm answering this chiefly because of his attacks on our Dean Bergant Society. And it's slanderous, and it's untrue. And I'm the president of the Dean Bergant Society. The Dean Bergant Society sponsors, along with the Bible for Today, these radio broadcasts. And when we're attacked, do we not have a right to answer the attacker? And this is exactly what we're doing. Some of you who are listening perhaps have never heard of Dr. Theodore Leidis, or Theodore Leidis, or even Ted Leidis, or Leidis, or Mr. Leidis. You've never even heard of him. But his presence is known in many circles, and therefore we're answering what he says. He says, Brother David Cloud says, Leidis makes many false and slanderous accusations against the Dean Bergant Society. Then he says, though I've never been a member of the DBS, I've read DBS literature for years, and I researched the Dean Bergant Society extensively during my research for the book, For the Love of the Bible, which documents the history of the defense of the King James Version over the past 200 years. I also know many of the Dean Bergant Society men personally. It was painful to see Leidis' false accusations, and I want to reply to them as a friend of the Dean Bergant Society. Let's pause right there in the quotation. Let me just simply say now, since he wrote this, since Brother David Cloud wrote this particular analysis in 1999, in April, he has become a member of the advisory council of our Dean Bergant Society, and he now is a very valued member of the Dean Bergant Society. Before he wrote this, he was not a member. He speaks every year, the last 2 years, 1999, as well as the year 2000. He's been speaking at our Dean Bergant Society meetings in a very fine, excellent manner, and so he is now affiliated with us. Let me continue now his defense of the Dean Bergant Society. Quote, in the ecclesiastical text, Leidis falsely associates the Dean Bergant Society with the idea that the King James Bible is superior to and corrects the Hebrew and Greek. That's pages 196 and 198. My friend, this is absolutely wrong. This is the Peter Ruckman position. And to have Dr. Theodore Leidis on his ecclesiastical text, page 196 and 198, say that we believe that the King James Bible is superior to the Hebrew and Greek from which it was taken, and even corrects the Hebrew and Greek, that is slander twice over. Absolutely false and ridiculous. This is not the position of our Dean Bergant Society. This is the position of Dr. Peter Ruckman of Pensacola, Florida, and his Pensacola Bible Institute. This is, and his followers. This is not the position of our Dean Bergant Society at all. Brother Clark continues. This is slanderous because the Dean Bergant Society plainly denounces such a position. The following statement by Dean Bergant Society co-founder and president, D.A. Waite, who's your speaker now, represents the position consistently taken by this organization. Quote, I have studiously stayed away from the extreme position, however, of Dr. Peter Ruckman. I believe that that position is heresy. That position, in effect, says that the King James Bible is not a translation, but is direct Holy Spirit revelation, coming word for word, including the italics, from God in 1611. I believe that position is heresy. I believe that is adding revelation to the Word of God, where he said the canon was closed. I believe to say that God supplanted and threw away the Hebrew Society claims, quote, that Bergant is of the same pedigree as those American fundamentalists, end of quote. That's from the Revival of the Ecclesiastical Text, page 49. To prove this accusation, he points to a statement made on the cover of a DBS reprint of Bergant's Inspiration and Interpretation. It contains the words, quote, Bergant's militant fundamentalism. End of quote. This is by no means a claim that Bergant was an American fundamentalist. And certainly, it is not a claim that Bergant is a fundamental Baptist. The dean, let me just point that out. Let's pause right there. When we first reprinted in copy machine format Dean Bergant's Inspiration and Interpretation, I put on the bottom there Bergant's militant fundamentalism. He was a fundamental Anglican. Now, I realize that normally when you use the term fundamentalist, you do not refer to the Church of England. I used that term in a debate with Dr. Stuart Custer back in the 1980s on the Textus Receptus versus the Nestle Aland, Westcott and Hort type of text. And I said that he was a fundamentalist Anglican, and I said that Westcott and Hort were liberal apostate Anglicans. And he took issue with me to say that Bergant was a fundamentalist. What I meant to say, and what I do mean to say today, and what I meant on the bottom of that paper, Bergant's Inspiration and Interpretation, on the front cover, what I meant to say was, he believed the documents of the 39 Articles of the Anglican Church, the Church of England. A fundamentalist Anglican believes those articles. Now, we differ with some, as far as polity and so on. We're not the Anglicans. But most of those 39 articles we could agree with, fundamental to the core. The deity of Christ, the bodily resurrection of our Lord, his miracles, and so on. The Trinity, all these different doctrines we would hold to, and Dean Bergant held to. Whereas Westcott and Hort, being modernistic apostate Anglicans, did not hold to these doctrines of the 39 Articles. In fact, when Bishop Westcott was about to graduate from college at Cambridge, he was had to sign these, and he hoped he didn't have to sign it because at that time he could not affirm the 39 Articles of the Church of England. Well, if he could not affirm them, he certainly was not a fundamentalist Anglican. And if he could not affirm the 39 Articles of his church, why, oh why, did he become a minister of that church? It was because of his slippery apostasy and heresy. He wanted to take over that church eventually and move it closer to the Church of Rome. And so Dean Bergant, as a fundamentalist Anglican, held to his church's doctrines and beliefs. That's what I meant. Let me continue. Brother David Cloud says, the Dean Bergant Society has plainly stated many times that it understands that Bergant was no such thing. He's not a fundamental Baptist. That he was a high church British Anglican. The Dean Bergant Society has even published Bergant's biography, so its patrons can read about Bergant for themselves. What the Dean Bergant Society is saying simply is that Bergant's defense of the verbal plenary inspiration of the Bible against the 19th century modernists who were attacking that doctrine was militant and fundamentalist. Now that's exactly what we're saying. And that's exactly what Dean Bergant was. That's why in the bottom of our Dean Bergant news, we say whose defense of the traditional Greek New Testament text against its many enemies, and whose firm belief in the verbal inspiration and inerrancy of the Bible, we believe, have all been unsurpassed, either before or since his time. He's a strong advocate and defender of these things. And that's what we're saying here. And to continue, this is exactly what we're saying. The Dean Bergant Society is right in this. Inspiration and Interpretation contains a series of sermons preached by Bergant at Oxford University in defense of the infallible Bible and against those who were casting doubt upon the same. Now, let me just point that out. That's why we have this in the preface of the Inspiration and Interpretation. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on the order phone, 1-800-John-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you can have confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Have you ordered Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible? If not, call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. You can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long until next broadcast, don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a call right now, toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. My friends, we're going to continue this defense of the Dean Burgon Society against Theodore Levis and his blatant attack, his malicious attack, his slanderous and false attack against this society, which has stood for 22 years in defense of traditional Bible texts. We believe it's important. We want you to stay tuned for next week's broadcast. And this is the same time, same stations you're now listening to. We'll be back then. See you in a week. So long for now. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 688. 688 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek Received New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone at 856-854-4452. Or email us, bft@bibleforToday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible. Now in its seventh printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible? Or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published by the Bible for Today? Uncommon words are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, either 12-point large print or 10-point medium print. Over 25,000 all over the world have their copies. Why not order yours today? Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And then for those requesting it, we'll send you free and postpaid these two articles on Dr. Theodore Levis, First Problems or Misstatements of Dr. Ted Levis on the Pensacola Christian College Video, 1997, and also an answer to the Lutheran Levis attack on Baptists, fundamentalists, separatists, dispensationalists, non-scholars, and the Dean Burgon Society. Simply ask for it, and we'll send it to you. And simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We're talking about Dr. Theodore Levis, a man who professes to stand strongly for the King James Bible, but yet is the media representative for another version. How can that be? I don't represent any other version but the King James Bible. You people who have listened to me and heard me through these many, many years on the radio broadcasts know that I stand exclusively for the King James Bible. Not the King James 21, as Dr. Theodore Levis does, and not for the Third Millennium Bible, which I suppose he's still the media representative for that, because that's the next step in the King James 21, Third Millennium Bible, which placates Roman Catholics and an ecumenical Bible completely, changes the preface of the King James Bible, takes out any reference to the Pope in order to placate Rome. This we do not agree with as far as Dr. Theodore Levis is concerned. Also, he professes to stand for the text of Receptus, but he says there are all kinds of errors and mistakes in the text of Receptus that underlies our King James Bible. We do not believe that. We believe that the text of Receptus that underlies our King James Bible is the preserved words of the Greek text that God has given to us in the originals. That's our position here, and it's the closest possible. We don't stand in many areas with Dr. Theodore Levis. But the other reason that we're analyzing him and discussing him and presently reading this paper and book by Pastor David Cloud, Theodore Levis, a friend of Fundamental Baptist, BFT number 2935, the reason for that is his vicious and untruthful attack, scurrilous attack on our organization called the Dean Burgon Society. Last couple of broadcasts, we've read the seven objectives of the Dean Burgon Society, and they're not extremist. They stand for good objectives, and they're fine and dandy as far as that's concerned. Now I'm reading some of the answer that Brother David Cloud has given to Theodolitis, and so on. As we mentioned, he was one of the persons and one of the people that were attending our first meeting of the Dean Burgon Society, the organizational meeting in 1978. He wanted to change our constitution and doctrinal statement to let in the charismatics and the Pentecostals and the different tongues movements and so on. We oppose that. We're against the charismatic movement. We do not believe that that's scripture. That's one of the doctrinal emphases of our Dean Burgon Society. There are many good people in the charismatic movement. We're not saying they're not, but we do not agree that they are scripturally founded in this age in which we live. The gifts of the Spirit have disappeared after the beginning and founding and completion, I should say, of the New Testament books, the canon of the New Testament, as we call it. And so then also, Ted Levis despised our separation principles in our Dean Burgon Society. He was there at the meeting, and he thought we ought to include all the liberal connected people, all the ones connected with the National Council of Churches, all the ones connected with the New Evangelical National Association of Evangelicals, and the compromise groups. He didn't see why we should be a separated group that come out from among them and be separate. Well, we believe that we ought to be separate. Let the liberals go ahead with their text, and let the compromised people, those connected with compromise movements, have their own defense of the Bible if they wish. But we wanted to found this Dean Burgon Society, found strongly on the Scriptures itself, and the Scriptures are clear that we ought to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We believe in 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 18 and 17, and then down to the next verse in chapter 7. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And that's the thing that we have established. Well, we're talking about the Dean Burgon Society, and last time, the Dean Burgon Society is right, says Brother David Cloud, in this Inspiration and Interpretation. That's a book that we've reprinted by Dean Burgon, contains a series of sermons preached by Burgon at Oxford University in defense of the infallible Bible and against those who are casting doubt upon the same. Now, let me just pause right there. We mentioned that last broadcast. This is an answer to Essays and Reviews. Essays and Reviews was a big book, 200-plus page book, as I recall, that was written by six or seven different men, six of whom were members of Dean Burgon's church, the Church of England, the Anglican Church. They were apostates. They were heretics. Dean Burgon, people say, well, he wouldn't be for our separatism and for our militant, be a militant fundamentalist man, but he was militant in his fundamental beliefs in the Church of England's doctrinal position. In that sense, he was fundamentalist, in the fundamentalist of the Anglican 39 Articles of the Christian Faith as they saw it. Now, we as Baptists, many of us, do not agree with all those articles, but most of the articles are sound, they're conservative, and they're biblical. Except for many ones that had to do with church polity and various things we would disagree with. But who says we have to agree with the Church of England and Dean Burgon in every point to have a Dean Burgon Society? This is not necessary. This is not essential. And as was said before, the reason that our Dean Burgon Society uses Dean Burgon's name is given on every one of the bottom of our Dean Burgon news since we began it 22 years ago. Here's what we say at the bottom of every one of our Dean Burgon news. Quote, the Dean Burgon Society Incorporated proudly takes its name in honor of John William Burgon, 1813 to 1888, the Dean of Chichester in England, whose tireless and accurate scholarship and contribution to the area of New Testament textual criticism, whose defense of the traditional Greek New Testament text against its many enemies, and whose firm belief in the verbal inspiration and inerrancy of the Bible, we believe have all been unsurpassed, either before or since his time. Unquote. Now, we say nothing about that we have to agree with 100% of everything that Dean Burgon believed and held to, either in his textual criticism situation or as far as his doctrine of the Church of England. But we have given the reasons why we name it the Dean Bergon Society, and is spelled out, as we just read, his tireless efforts to promote the inerrancy and infallibility of Scripture, and his defense of the traditional Bible text against its enemies. And so, let me continue. Brother Clyde said, I first read Inspiration and Interpretation in the library of Regent College in British Columbia several years ago. The occasion of Bergon's sermons on the inspiration of Scripture was the publication of Essays and Reviews, a series of modernistic articles by seven men, six of whom were Anglican clergymen. I was thrilled by Bergon's unequivocal defense of a verbally inspired Bible and his masterly handling of the unbelieving modernists. I have read the writings of hundreds of modernistic theologians, and while they have been answered repeatedly and ably by Bible-believing preachers, in my estimation, no one has done a better job than John Bergon in exposing the deceitful nature of the modernistic position. End of quote. Let me just pause right there in Brother David Cloud's remarks. This is so true. Dean Bergon meticulously goes after these modernist apostates. I believe that's militant. And I believe when we say he's a militant fundamentalist, he was militant. There's no question about it. And he went after those modernist apostates in a tremendous fashion. And I certainly agree with Brother David Cloud that it was, in his estimation, the best that he'd seen. This is one reason why the Dean Bergon Society, which I've been president of now for 22 years, this is one reason why the Dean Bergon Society has reprinted in hardback edition Inspiration and Interpretation by Dean Bergon, the first half of which is his answer to the modernists. That shows his mettle. That shows his defense of truth. That shows his argumentative spirit against evil. That shows his stand for the Lord and his stand against the devil and all the devil's crowd. Let me continue. Brother David Cloud says this, quote, I am not sympathetic with much that Anglicanism stands for. And Bergon was an Anglican. But there is no doubt in my mind that this man loved Jesus Christ and the Book of God, and he hated the enemies of Christ with great passion. I gave a lengthy overview of Bergon's battle and extended excerpts from his sermons in my book, For the Love of the Bible, says Brother Clough. I strongly disagree with Bergon on some of his applications and interpretations of Scripture, but I agree heartily with him on the nature of Scripture. This is all that the Dean Bergon Society has ever claimed, the false charges of Dr. Letus aside. Well, that's true. We've claimed of his stand on Scripture. That's why we have named our Dean Bergon Society after Dean John William Bergon, and nothing more. Then Brother Cloud says, three false movements were eating at Britain's spiritual foundation in the late 19th century. Darwinism, modernism, and Romanism. Now notice those three. Let's just pause right there. Notice those three movements. Very well put by Brother David Cloud. Three movements eating at the heart of the Christian spiritual foundation of the Bible in Great Britain. Darwinism, that's evolution. Modernism, that's the denial of the Bible and all the doctrines of the Bible. And Romanism, the Roman Catholic system. Then he says, after saying these three movements, John William Bergon understood the nature of these assaults and stood decidedly, militantly, against all three. Now notice, here's the militancy. That's what some of the fundamentalists today want to take away. Militancy. But Dean Bergon was militant. And as the fundamentalists of his own church, his own doctrinal statement, his 39 articles, and we give him credit for that. We don't have to agree with every one of the 39 articles of the Anglican Church, the Church of England, but he was militant in his appreciation and standing for what his church is supposed to stand for. And militantly against all three of these movements, Darwinism, modernism, and Romanism. Let me continue. Brother David Cloud says as follows. Bergon gave modernism no quarter. He refused to be quiet about it. He refused to treat it kindly. He refused to be patient with it. This is a very fundamentalistic type of position. Did you get that? A very fundamentalistic type of position. And this is why, in the debate that we had with Dr. Stuart Custer and his co-chairman or co-debater in the 1980s, this is why we said that Dean Burgon was a fundamentalist Anglican, because he stood strongly against apostasy of his day. And as Brother David Cloud says, this is a very fundamentalistic type of position. No quarter with modernism. He was not patient with modernism. He did not treat it kindly. So fundamentalist. That Burgon was militantly bold against error is acknowledged, in fact, by practically every book on textual criticism that has been written. From Kenyon to Metzger to Olland, John Burgon is painted as a radical, intemperate extremist. Kenyon points to Burgon's extravagant tone, his vehemence, his extravagance and intemperance. Metzger, that's Bruce Metzger, says the vehemence of his advocacy somewhat impaired its effect. H. Wheeler Robinson claims, quote, that the violence of Burgon's tone was unparalleled. That sounds like a description of a militant fundamentalist to me. If Dr. Ted Leidis doesn't want to use the terms militant fundamentalist to describe John Burgon, that is certainly his prerogative. You see, he doesn't want to say that Burgon was a militant fundamentalist. He doesn't want to use that. He hates fundamentalism. He hates fundamentalism. He's against it. He's of the liberal persuasion as far as compromise is concerned. Dr. Theodore Leidis is a compromise Lutheran and an ecumenical Lutheran. And he's not a fundamentalist, and he's not a separatist, as the Bible clearly teaches that we ought to be. Listen, if we're defending our King James Bible, we ought to obey it. Ought we not? If we're defending our King James Bible, should we not obey its precepts and its doctrines? And one of the main doctrines of our King James Bible and our New Testament and Old Testament is biblical separation from evil, falsehood, and doctrinal perversion. And Dean Burgon certainly was militant in his fundamental position. Then he says that Brother David Clark, it is not his prerogative, though, it is Leidis' prerogative, to pontificate to the Dean Burgon Society how they will use such terms when they have done no violence to the common definition of the same. Well, praise the Lord for Brother David Cloud's defense of our King James Bible, but also of our Dean Burgon Society. That's a wonderful statement he's made. Let me continue. Brother David Cloud says this: it was Burgon's love for the infallible Bible and his zeal against modernism that has made him so universally despised by men who are sympathetic to a rationalistic approach to the Bible. He had the rationalist's number. He exposed the dignified conventionalities under which skepticism loves to account itself. These are in quotes, those words, dignified conventionalities under which skepticism loves to conceal itself. Beautiful terminology, beautiful words, beautiful choice of words. Dean Burgon was a great writer, a great writer. Let me continue. Brother Clark says, he reveals that while they seem to deny biblical doctrines, at the same time, it is somehow hard to believe that they really mean it. He notes that they have a marvelous aptitude, that is, these apostates, a marvelous aptitude of connecting together in the same sentence two or three clauses, one or two of which shall be true as heaven, while the other is false as hell. End of quote from Dean Burgon. Now, this is tremendously important. He sees and shows here that there is duplicity in the writing of these apostates that wrote in the Essays and Reviews, to be found in the first half of his book that we've reprinted on Inspiration and Interpretation. These Essays and Reviewists, six of the seven were members of the clergy of the Church of England in Dean Burgon's day. What he's pointing out is here that they are very sharp in duplicity. trained in duplicity, trained in doublespeak. This is exactly the same way that Bishop Westcott and Professor Hort were, trained in duplicity. They also are confusing. They may have a sentence in which one or two clauses has some truth and other clauses have some error. This is exactly why there's a difference of opinion as to the apostasy and heresy of Bishop Westcott and Professor Hort, the founders of the false Westcott and Hort Greek text. The same thing is true in the Essays and Reviews in Burgon's day and in Westcott and Hort's day. Let me continue. Brother David Cloud continues. He, that is Dean Burgon, ingeniously describes the difficulty of discerning the false teacher's cloven foot. Then he's quoting Dean Burgon and says as follows, quote, "A cloven foot appears at last, but it is instantly withdrawn with a shuffle, and you experience a scowl or a sneer, as the case may be, for your extreme unkindness in inquiring whether it was not a cloven foot you saw." End of quote. Now, let me just pause right there in Brother David Cloud's analysis and quotation of Dean Burgon. This is a tremendous analysis and simile. The cloven foot. Now, as you may know, the Old Testament dietary laws required that the Jews were not to eat any animal that did not part the hoof and be cloven-footed and chew the cud or ruminate and have two stomachs, at least two stomachs. They were not to eat of it. And so here the cloven foot, which would be the encouraging thing, and as he writes and as he reads this thing, he sees the cloven foot come out, which means this is true, this is fact, this is biblical, here's a separated thing, here's something they can eat of. A cloven foot appears at last, but it is instantly withdrawn with the shovel. So no longer you see the foot. Here's truth, and all of a sudden the truth is withdrawn, and error takes its place. That's what he's saying. And you experience a scowl or a sneer, as the case may be, for your extreme unkindness in inquiring whether it was not a cloven foot you saw. Let me continue. He, that is Dean Burgon, notes the false teacher's, quote, "vagueness of diction, which at once discourages pursuit and defeats inquiry." He, that is Dean Burgon, warns us that the false teacher is like the type of fish that disappears in the cloud of his own ink. Tremendous. These are quotes from Dean Burgon's answer in Essays and Reviews. So here's a false teacher, like the type of fish that disappears in the cloud of his own ink. In other words, the writers, they come up one side and then they go down the other. They come up on the side of truth and then they go down the side of error. Well, which do you see? Which do you believe? Well, you've got to believe that they're erroneous and they're trying to make themselves out look like they're proper and true and scriptural. This is exactly what Westcott and Hort have done in their writings. This is exactly what I've sought to point out in the theological heresies of Westcott and Hort that I wrote many years ago, quoting 125 passages from their own books, showing how that they have a cloven foot and then they withdraw it, and showing that they see a fish and then they disappear in a cloud of their own ink. The fish was there, the real truth was there, and all of a sudden they deny the truth by obfuscation and by hidden things. They continue, Brother David Cloud. He says, no wonder modern textual critics, influenced as they are by rationalistic approaches to the scriptures, despise old Burgon. As a matter of fact, as he mentions here, Burgon could be describing the position of Theodore Letus concerning the Bible. He too is vague. That is Letus. He too loves dignified conventionalities in his writings. True, there appears a cloven foot from time to time. In other words, some truth, which is instantly withdrawn with a shovel and with a scowl or sneer at those who try to identify the error. This is Letus. And this, of course, is true. And we've got to warn you, the listeners, and those who may be reading this, against Dr. Theodore Letus. He is part clovenfoot and part not clovenfoot, and so on. And this is what Dean Bergen has said of his essays and reviews. Let me continue. Brother David Cloud says this: I have gone through Bergen's Revision Revised carefully and annotated it. I have read large parts of it repeatedly. I never cease to thrill at Bergen's zeal for the Word of God, his defense of the traditional text, and his exposure of the error of Westcott Hortism. Unquote. Let me pause right there. Let's just simply say, I never cease to thrill at that either. I thrill at Dean Bergen's skill, at his words, as his exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of the Word of God, and the words of God, and the things of truth. It was because I read in synoptic form, in condensed form, in summary form, from Dr. David Otis Fuller's book, Which Bible? It's because I saw Dean Bergen condensed that I said, let me go out into the highways and byways and get all of his books, not simply the condensed view. I wanted to know everything that Dean Bergen wrote on this subject. And so I made my way to an apostate seminary in our state of New Jersey, Princeton Theological Seminary. And I got from that seminary library, I got the books of Dean Bergen. One at a time, I made copies, page after page after page after page, and resolutely continued, tried to get the best copy I could make. For a long time, we made these copies of Dean Bergen's books in mimeograph editions. And then all of a sudden, we had the funds. And after many years in our Dean Bergen Society, we were able to reprint in excellent style and fashion all five of Dean Bergen's books. But the thing that got me interested in Dean Bergen was his words, as Dr. Fuller had condensed them in his book, Which Bible? And I saw what Dean Bergen was. I was thrilled with the skill, with the devotion to the text of Scripture. And it just drew me to him, just as Brother David Cloud was drawn to him as well. Then Brother Cloud describes Dean Bergen. He was a scholar of the highest caliber. And he was. And though by no means a recluse, he spent much of his life in dimly lit, musty libraries, poring over obscure marks on the pages of old manuscripts. His object in this scholarly pursuit was to defend the traditional text and to expose its enemies. And that's exactly what our position is and what our desire is at this time as well. And that's the reason we spend so much time in these areas. Now notice, the man had a heart, and the heart and faith of a humble child. Dean Bergen had the heart and faith of a humble child. Bergen was not merely a Bible scholar. He was a Bible defender. He had enthusiasm for the Word of God. He had passion for it. He loved it. His detractors, then and now, have misunderstood his passion. Most biblical scholars in this century see the Bible merely as an object of intellectual interest. Bible research to these men is merely an occupation or fascinating pastime at best. They do not love the Bible as the supernatural Word of God. But Dean Bergen did. We're going to stop right here. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible, or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get both books. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you're going to have confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long until next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a call right now, toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Or you may email us at bft@bibleforToday.org. Now, friends, this is a serious topic. This topic is necessary in handling the very words of the living God. Dr. Theodore Letus, we believe, is a false representative of the King James Bible and a false representative of the Textus Receptus that underlies our New Testament King James Bible. We believe he has mouthings, and he has the cloven foot that occasionally appears, and then he withdraws it. You cannot depend upon him for separation because he's an ecumenical Lutheran. You cannot depend upon him for a clear and decisive analysis of Westcott and Hort, whom he thinks to be conservatives. We're going to continue this very important broadcast next week. Hope you'll stay tuned. See you next week, same time, same station. So long.